God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Tonight, I want to talk about biblical accuracy. Looking forward to sharing with you some amazing information tonight. Thanks for taking time to be with me here for Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, my name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Tonight I'll be sharing with you some excerpts out of 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible, written by C.A. Woolcott tonight. Again, you can find this resource at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You know, does history actually agree with the Bible? Friends, history is not pieces of pottery found in rock layers. History is either written or oral records of people and nations. There are no historical documents or oral histories which actually refute the Bible's history, specifically dating prior to Noah's flood, roughly 4,400 years ago. Now, the skeptics, they're quick to mention China and Egypt as counterexamples. However, there are unconsidered problems with those theories, friends. China, for instance, does not start at year zero. And even their records include a man, get this, named Noah, with three sons, which will sound a little familiar. Loshen, and Japhu. Egypt has a lot of issues with three major periods of darkness where there is no continuity. What is interesting with Egypt is that the timelines of many other ancient Near East cultures are based upon Egypt. And they have huge gaps in their histories, too. Yet, if these cultures lined up their dates with the Bible, suddenly all of those gaps just go away. The availability test, friends, it showcases the knowledge of the claims being made. Especially when dealing with geography, political situations, ranks of leading figures in a time period where there was no Google nor much of libraries that could be maintained and up to date. Friends, the more details of this type that are given, well, it seems the author is correct. One major argument against Moses being the author of the Pentateuch is the JEDP hypothesis. Some of you don't know what that is, but I encourage you. You could Google that yourself, JEDP hypothesis. And without going into detail on this much anyway, nearly half of, by the way, Josh McDowell's The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict covers this issue. One reason in favor of Moses' authorship is his extensive knowledge of the routes of the journey through the wilderness, where they camped, how long they stayed, and who was in charge of other cities and nations. These details would be difficult for 6th century BC Jewish scribes to produce. Besides Moses, there are two other factors, among many others, which give rise to the validity of the Bible in terms of historical analysis. The accounts of the kings and writings of Luke. The accounts of the kings in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles are unique in historical accounts. Not only do they give a straightforward account of the kings, but they give the time frame of each king in relation to the kings of other nations. Not just Israel and Judah, but also secular nations. They give specific names and ranks and Even the spellings of names are impeccable compared to other historical accounts. There are some spelling differences in similar accounts to the Bible, but those are minor. Robert Dick Wilson is a man worth studying. He was a master of 45 ancient languages to the point of speaking them fluently. And he spent the last 45 years of his life dedicated to studying the Bible. He spent 15 years studying all the languages that the Bible was written in or referenced, then another 15 years studying every single letter of the Bible in its original language. And then, the last 15 years, defending the Bible against all critics. Josh McDowell records some extensive studies from Robert Dick Wilson regarding the Kings. Quote, "To summarize, the records don't just detail the kings of Israel and Judah in order in relation to each other. They also record at least 26 different kings from other nations. What is unique about these lists is not just the accuracy to the timelines, but even details of spelling. The spelling changes along with the language and grammar with impeccable accuracy. When examining other ancient histories, spelling and timelines are frequently so bad that names are even unrecognizable. To get the kind of accuracy the Old Testament records of the kings has by chance, the odds would be, well, about 1 in 750 with 21 zeros after it. I have no idea what that number is, okay? By the way, end quote. Then there is Luke, a Gentile physician who met Paul during his missionary journeys and followed him the rest of the way. There is not a single historian who gives the accounts of history as Luke does, listing specific locations, specific persons, and their ranks, positions as they changed throughout the account. Sir William Ramsay was perhaps one of the top archaeologists in the world and went to Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, for the specific purpose of trying to refute the Bible, namely Acts and the Gospel of Luke. Friends, he never found a single thing which refutes these two books. He later actually said this, quote, "Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he is possessed of the true historic sense. He fixes his mind on the idea and plan that rules in the evolution of history and proportions the scale of his treatment to the importance of each incident. He seizes the important and critical events and shows their true nature at great length. While he touches lightly or omits entirely much that was valueless for his purpose." In short, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians, end quote. Luke, more than anyone else, passes the ability test. If Luke could not be trusted for his accuracy, well, friends, I challenge any listener to provide a historian who could do better. In its history, everything the Bible states has been shown to be true, or at the least, not proven false. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Zurich, your host for the program. Again, been sharing with you a little bit out of Charlie Wolcott's book, 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible. You can find this at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. It's available in paperback and on Kindle. Might share a little bit when we come back. And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host, Jason DeZurich.
Early on in my life, I had a decision to make. Was I going to go all out for fame and fortune and happiness and excitement that this world had to offer, or would I return to the faith of my youth? Friends, this was the faith my parents had tried their best to teach me as a child through their words and actions. Now, were they perfect? Well, no, they were not, and I believe even they would admit to this. But they did love me. I knew without a doubt that they loved me. Friends, my parents never gave up on me. They loved me with truth and in patience and self-control. Sometimes they would just listen to me saying things, and other times they would give me advice that many times I didn't take into consideration. I mean, in my mind at the time, they were old. And what did they know? How arrogant of me.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. So appreciate you being with me here, friends. You know, in simple terms, the doctrine of inerrancy states that the Bible is true. It's without error and from God. As I've stated in the past, we here at Worldview Warriors, we believe that inerrancy applies to the original text of Scripture. Friends, we believe when it was originally written, it was without error, absolutely. If we remove this truth, we open the door to becoming weird or, well, unfortunately, heretical. Friends, do you believe that the Bible is inerrant? You know, without error, do you believe that? Or do you think it actually has error? And if you're going, well, I'm not sure, I don't know what I think about that. Friends, I'd like to share with you some questions I've shared in the past. And these are just good questions, not just for yourself, but maybe for a skeptic that you know. Or even someone who's a believer who's struggling with their faith. Number one, do you believe that the Bible gets some things wrong, that it may contain errors? Number two, do you doubt that the Bible is the authoritative word of God? Do you believe that the Bible really isn't from God? Three, is the Bible old-fashioned, irrelevant, or needing to progress with the times? You know, it's an old dusty book. It doesn't, you know, impact your life today. Do you believe that? Number four, is the Bible a product of human invention and, you know, without God leading it? Five, are some events in the Bible actually not true? Meaning, is the Bible fictitious with its stories? And number six, has the Bible been changed or adapted since it was originally written? Now, as you answer these questions, if you answered yes to any one of these, then you have either intentionally or unintentionally rejected the inerrancy of Scripture. And yes, this is a huge problem. Although culture will not admit it for some reason, the slippery slope, friends, it's very, very real. Personally, I think people will not say it's real simply because they want their own way. I don't know how else to put that. What you allow today will become the new standard tomorrow. We see it. We've seen it in 2020 for certain. Believing that the Bible is wrong in some way will eventually lead us down a very dark and destructive path, one that I don't even know if we can understand. Many reject inerrancy because they think that they've stumbled upon an error. A skeptic may cite a few perceived issues, you know, such as grammatical understandings, mathematical issues, and things like that. Most of the time, though, these contradictions or errors, again, really are not the problem. I have found when I speak to someone, and even in my own life before I became a believer in Jesus, what I found is when a person claims that the Bible is wrong, it's usually, and again, I was guilty of this too, it's usually because that person doesn't like what the Bible has to say. They disagree with a particular passage and they become offended. Their emotion, well, drives them to devalue the Bible, dismissing it as irrelevant. You know, it has error, or it's just simply unrealistic. You ever felt that way? And Friends, here's just one scripture I would like to share with you, because I would say this definitely fits within this, where people are like, I don't really like it. And I'm going to just be very upfront. This is going to be super ouchy. In Ephesians 5, I'll start in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Again, I told you this would be ouchy. So, let's move to the next part, because this is even tougher. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Again, I did warn you, this would be ouchy. You think there's error there? Do you not follow some part of that? Many, rather than dealing with the truth of the Word of God, they find it easier to write it off or seek to change it. Well, to be fair, this is when the more insidious roots begin to grow. At odds with the Bible, many Christians will declare that we have, you know, outgrown the old-fashioned notions of Scripture. I know I've had people tell me this. They argue that particular passages of the Bible are best disregarded or perhaps updated to coincide with our evolving modern times. Friends, to deny inerrancy is to make yourself the judge over Scripture. We are not privileged with the authority to break apart Scripture in attempts to pick and choose what is from God and what is not from God. The Word of God stands alone regardless of our approval. If we attempt to pick and choose, well, then we become the judge over it. God forbid, Scripture is not ours to break. John 10:35 states the Scripture cannot be broken. It says this, if he calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken. You can go read that for yourself again, John 10:35. The Bible claims itself to be flawless. It is perfect. The authority of the Scripture is available through reasonable and accurate translation of the original language writings. We possess these translations we have today, Psalm 12:6 states the words of God are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You would be correct to say that men wrote those words, that men wrote the Bible. However, they wrote only what the Lord had instructed them to write. Do not make human authorship with divine instruction. Do not mistake it, I should say. Do not mistake human authorship with divine instruction. We also recognize that the Bible uses allegory and imagery, absolutely. Do not misrepresent this as error. The Bible can be trusted, and the authors wrote through the Spirit of God himself. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Finally, To deny inerrancy is to deny what God had already said about his own scripture. To disagree with inerrancy is to set yourself at odds with God. The Bible truly is the word of the Lord. And as we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Friends, if you are still on the fence, I implore you to take time and effort required to wrestle through this. Listen outside of your current sphere of influence and discover the proofs of biblical inerrancy from sources who actually believe it. Your Christian life depends upon it. Perhaps you already believe that the Bible is inerrant. Well, if so, can you intelligently defend it? Friends, I encourage you to take a few moments to just digest this. This is from the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. Inerrant signifies the quality of being free from all falsehood or mistake, and so safeguards the truth that Holy Scripture is entirely true and trustworthy in all its assertions. Let that wrestle around a bit. We must always have a strong defense to the inerrancy of Scripture. I also would like to finish with this. Earlier this week, my pastor shared this about Zechariah. You know, John the Baptist's father. Zechariah, friends, he was in the temple. The angel Gabriel showed up and told him he was going to have a son. What I so loved about what my pastor pointed out is this. Zechariah was old, friends. Zechariah not only was old, but he was a priest, and he knew the Old Testament. He knew all the stories. He knew Abraham and Sarah having a child late in life. He knew about the miracles of the Old Testament. He knew they were true. And yet, he doubted about having this child. Gabriel was not too happy. Go read about this in the book of Luke. In fact, Zechariah could not speak, seemingly for 9 months. Just an amazing story. And I point that out because I think today in our society, many of us, I don't want to say have forgotten, but it seems many of us are like Zechariah. We know that the Bible is true in certain areas and places, but there are other places where we doubt. Oh, that can't be true because science has proven that not to be true. Did Jonah really stay in the belly of a great fish for 3 days? Did the Israelites really march around Jericho and the walls fell down? Really? Come on. There's many others I obviously could share, but friends, it comes down to, are you going to believe God or not? That's what this really is all about. I'd like to share with you what someone shared regarding this. They just said, thank you for posting this at such a time as this. It couldn't be more appropriate or apt. Another person shares. This is such an important topic. When you put the Bible to the test as to the validity and authenticity of Scripture, it passes with flying colors. There's more you can find. But again, friends, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. You can find us at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You can also find our parent ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. We are on Facebook with Worldview Warriors. We also are on Facebook with Do Not Keep Silent. Go like and follow our pages. And recently, we started a new Facebook page titled The Way Forward is Back. Friends, really, if we want to move forward, we have got to get back to the biblical truths of Scripture. We've got to start following God in all that we do. I greatly encourage you. Seek out God. Ask Him what sins you may need to confess, not just to Him, but maybe to someone else. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask the person you've wronged for forgiveness. And then go God's way. Repent. I've had many people tell me that repenting means turning the other way. Well, partially true. Repenting means you're going down your path and you need to find God's path. Go His way. Go the right way. My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I so appreciate you being with me here for the program. I hope you've been encouraged and equipped, and you go out and make today great. We'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.